Test. Hello, good morning. Let's turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah, set to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Amen. So Psalm 46 is a little bit of a different kind of psalm in that if you notice, one of the patterns in most of the psalms is that they talk about the trouble. This is David will say, this is a situation that I'm in, I'm abandoned, and so on and so forth. And then it will conclude with God coming to the rescue or an appeal to God or something to that effect. Psalm 46 is different and because it starts off with God. It starts off with a proclamation of God's strength and God's goodness. That's very, very different. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the songs of the sons of Korah seem to be a little bit different than the songs of David. There seems to be kind of a different pattern. And so we see one of these here. So he starts off and he says, God is our refuge and strength. And this could be equating to maybe the cities of refuge that the Israelites or that God had set up among the Israelites. It could have something to do with that. But it just very clearly tells us who God is. God is the one that we find our refuge in. You know, when we're being battered and when we're being torn in two and all kinds of happens, you realize the only safe place that you can come to is the Lord. And he is and I love this, and I've been using this so much these days. He's a very present help in trouble, or the passage also could read in time of need. It's actually literally translated as abundantly available for help. And so he's not a God that's far off, that's watching us. And there is a great security in knowing that God sees everything, that God is watching us, even from a distance or something to that effect. There's something of a security that comes upon us. You know, I think about, you know, when my little kids, you know, when they're playing in the park, and you know, of course I'm always watching them. Even though I may be at some distance, you know, they may be playing on a swing or doing something. But I noticed that whenever they would, you know, look around and try to find me, even though I could see them all the time, and they look around and try to find me, when they found me, you can see this kind of assurance on their face. You know, when they're looking, you know, there's kind of like frantic, like, oh, you know, where's my dad? And then as soon as they see you, there's this assurance that happens. And so, yes, there is an assurance that God is watching us. But that's not what this psalm is talking about. He's not just watching us from afar. He's actually very presently available to help. The word, again, is abundantly available to help. He is our present. In other words, he's not watching us from afar. He's right there with us. And I think any of us that have gone through some difficulties, any of us that have gone through different trials in your lives, you know this. You instinctively understand this in your heart of hearts, because what you see is what you see a God who's right there with you, who's walking the path with you in that way. And that's why I think for many of us, the great poem Footprints really registers with this. I remember the first time I read that poem, and it was just something, it's just kind of like, yeah, totally makes sense. You know the footprints where it's a story of a man, and you know God shows him his whole life, and you know in all the good places, you know there's two sets of footprints that are there, and then in the worst places of his life, the most difficult places, he only notices one set of footprints. And so when he goes to the Lord, he asks him, God, you know I know you're always there with me, but how come you seem to have abandoned me when it's the most difficult times of my life? And you know the whole story. And God says, it's, you know, dear son or dear daughter, I don't remember who. It's actually a female that supposedly wrote it, so it should be dear daughter. But he says that it's in those moments of difficulty that I carried you. And when I remember when I first read that, you know, as a brand new Christian, it just made sense. Of course, God is with us. And not only with us, he is our ever-present help. He's abundantly available, and he does help us in those times. In fact, it's in those darkest moments that he actually carries us. And we need to remember that. This psalm, I should say this, by the way, was so powerful that it's been said that Martin Luther, whenever he entered a time of distress, he would call the congregation together, and they would recite Psalm 46. And this would be the song and the reading that they would read. And it would just remind Luther, and it would remind the church and the people of God that God was with them, that God is our refuge and strength. When you don't have strength, when you can't muster strength on your own, God is your strength. He is a very present. He's abundantly available to help those that are in trouble. And so what's the stance? He says, therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. And this is the beauty of it, right? God is our refuge. He's the one that we hide in. Remember, the city of refuge was a place that you can go no matter what you did. You can do the worst things, but you can go and you can hide in this city of refuge, and no one can touch you. No one could take revenge on you. And so he's in this refuge, and he is our strength when we're lacking strength. He is our ever-present help. In other words, he's there with us. He's not looking from afar when we're in trouble. Therefore, and this is the stance that we need to make, or the conclusion, therefore, we will not fear. So therefore, I will not be in fear. And then, for the next few verses, talks about kind of the worst things that can happen in this way. He says, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. In other words, you could just think of like the nature, everything around you, everything goes to shambles. The mountains quake, the seas, typhoon, hurricanes, all these things. So the writer's got all this imagery of what's the worst thing that could happen in creation and nature. And all that stuff happens, and he says, even then, I will not fear. Now, the writer, or the writers, these are the sons of Korah, could also be alluding to the end. When creation just seems to go to an end. And he says, even when, if I could use a different kind of imagery, even when the world is falling apart, I will not fear. Why? You got to go back, because God is my refuge and my strength. He is my present. He's right here with me. He's my present help in trouble. And even though everything is falling apart, the world looks like it's going to end, I still will not fear. And then he goes in verse 4, he says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, obviously, he's talking about Jerusalem. And now he's getting into kind of a prophetic projection in that way. And God's help in trouble is like this great river whose streams make glad the city of God. Now, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, and this is kind of unique among ancient cities, and this is why Jerusalem is very unique, in the sense that if every major city, every major powerful city had close access to a water source, it was a strategic nature of why a city is in this place versus a city is in a different place. If you notice, some of the major cities around the world are connected to some kind of water source. It's so important because that provides the security, you know, that provides obviously the water and all these things. But even though Jerusalem does not have a secure water, so there is no river that flows through. There's a couple of small streams, but clearly not enough. And so if you remember in the scriptures, and many of us that have been to Israel, remember we walked through it. Remember Hezekiah's tunnel? That was an answer to this fact that there's no river running through the city. That's by the way, if we ever get to Israel again, that's one of the funnest experiences, is literally going through the tunnel that Hezekiah built. From the Bible, it's still there. It's still preserved, and it's pitch black dark, right? But it's so fun. In any case, and so he says there's a kind of a projection. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. In other words, God is going to be that source for the city of Jerusalem. The holy dwelling places of the Most High, God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our strong. Now you get an idea. Okay, this is what's happening. And so seemingly Jerusalem is being invaded. Jerusalem is under siege. And so armies have surrounded. Now we get the idea, the nations are making an uproar. Nations, particularly who are the probably the better translation is actually the Gentiles. You know, so this would be the enemies of the people of Israel now. And so there's something happening there. There's something going on. War is happening. So now we know, okay, the sons of Korah are speaking about a situation of war. There's something that lives are being endangered. All things are happening. Maybe they cut off the water source leading in. That was actually a very, very common tactic when they try to seize Jerusalem, is they cut the water sources off. And remember, we see passages where they try to starve them out as well, and all these kinds of things. And so now the sons of Korah relaying to us, okay, this is a situation that's happening, but still, the Lord of hosts is with us. Whenever you see the Lord of hosts, you can recognize a military picture. The Lord of hosts, or the captain of the hosts, or something to that effect, are actually military terms. And so now we understand, this is a war scenario that's taking place, which actually helps us understand the rest is happening. And so then the psalmists are saying, look, come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He makes he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots of fire. And what the psalmist is alluding to, he's alluding to all the other wars. And this is what you could see. You could see, like, if you look at the battlefield, and this is what he says, he's wrought desolations in the earth. If you look at the battlefields after the Lord has come through, you see, obviously, dead men. You see weapons strewn across the land, and a defeated army basically on the land. And he's reminding the Israelites, take courage. We've seen this before. We've seen God work on our behalf. We've seen God move on our behalf, and we've literally seen the battlefield made desolate. We've seen weapons and even chariots and all kinds of things. You know, it seems so powerful, but now they're nothing. And he's saying, listen, we've seen that, people. We've seen God do these things. And so then verse 10, cease striving and know that I am God. Now the song totally changes because now God comes onto the picture, and now God speaks. And he says, cease striving and know that I am God. Now, unfortunately, many Bible teachers have used this as a contemplative thought. This is you know, we just sit down and it's just, you know, we get, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with that per se, but that's not how this verse is written. If you look at the imagery, what is the imagery that's taking place? It's war. And so he looks out, and I think it's a twofold command. One, the Lord speaks to the enemy armies. He's basically saying, you surrender. I am God. You, right, give up. You know, the phrase actually is in Hebrew, it's actually the tone is very strong. It could be translated as leave off. In other words, stop right now, surrender, because I am God. I'm on the scene. Now, obviously, it's also a command to the Israelites as well. Cease striving, let go. It's telling the people of God also to surrender. But the connotation here is to surrender your anxious thoughts. Is surrender the anxiety that's inside of you. It's like telling yourself, stop it! You know, your mind is just wandering. You've got all these different thoughts, and it's going all over the place. And do you remember, some of us that are parents here, do you remember your first child, and you brought your child home from the hospital, and then your mind wandered to all the, like, the worst-case scenarios, you know, like the first time that you put your baby in bed with you, I got to stay still like this because I'm going to roll over my baby, I'm going to kill my baby, and all these things. And we have all these crazy thoughts. We get into worst-case scenarios, and God says, stop, let go, surrender your anxious thoughts, and know that I am God. Why can we do that? Because He is God. This is a different kind of psalm, like I said. God shows up in this psalm. God comes and takes first person charge. And again, we know the context. You have to get the context is war. You have to remember that. That's why right there he says, cease striving, stop, let go, surrender, put your arms down, your arms meaning your weapons, put your weapons down and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. And then it's a refrain to the people of God. The Lord of hosts, again, the Lord of hosts, this is war, is with us. And the God of Jacob is our stronghold or fortress. He's our powerful edifice that protects us. And then it's the Selah. And the Selah is there's three here, right? And they're very, very important because it makes us to pause and to reflect that God is here and He's with us. And He wants us to stop. Stop. You say your mind, stop. Surrender. Surrender to the will of God. Such a simple thing. Cease striving and know that I am God. But you won't understand that until you get first verse 1 inside your spirit. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Once you get that inside of you, it's very easy to let go of everything else and to totally surrender. Let's close our eyes. What a beautiful psalm. Now you know why when Luther was in trouble, when he felt distress, he'd ask people to come and read Psalm 46. Even in his old age, when he could not read for himself, he would ask the attendant to read Psalm 46 for him. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is there something that's on your heart that's been giving you fear? Is there something on your mind that has caused you to lose sleep? Is there a situation in your life these days that's bringing you distress? Remind your soul that our God is a God of refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of need. So you can say to your mind, your soul, your emotions, your will, you can say to yourself, cease striving, let go, lay down your arms, surrender, because God is here. Cease striving and know that I am God. So let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him whisper into your heart of hearts that He is your God. He is your refuge and strength. No one else and nothing else. And though the world falls apart, He will always be with you. He is our fortress, our stronghold.
Oh,
Let's pray this morning and let's surrender. Let's cease striving. Let's give it all to God. Let us remember that He is our God, that He is our refuge and strength, our very present help in our time of need. Whatever situation that you're going through this morning, whatever trial, temptation, difficulties at work, at home, in your faith even maybe, surrender it to the Lord. Let go. Just relax. Why? Because He's God. He will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in all the earth. And this morning, as we just meditate for a bit before we go into corporate prayer, let's just surrender. Let's surrender those anxious thoughts. Let's surrender our rights before the Lord. Go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and surgeries. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's go to our community that is battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing, let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's go to our community that's dealing with non-cancer related illness. Let's pray for God's healing. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Actually, some of these guys actually have jobs. They're just looking for better ones as well. So just give us a frame our prayers a little bit. And let's just pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's pray over Hong Kong this morning. Let's just continue to lift up our city. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray that our leaders would make righteous decisions. Let's continue to pray against the wealth gap that causes a lot of social unrest in the city. Let's pray for revival. We understand that only God can move and do this. And let's lift up the churches all over the city. Let's pray for our friends that minister in the city, sports services, Shanty, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's lift up our city. Staff, let's just pray for God's grace. Let's pray for anointing to do ministry and a real sense, a deep sense of unity and love for one another. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries. Let's pray for our welcoming, our barista. Let's pray that as they welcome people into this house, that there will be a lot of love, a lot of warmth, a lot of genuine kindness that really flows. Let's pray that our team would operate in these things. Let's also pray for our worship, our sound, and our AV teams. Let's pray for a real spirit of worship that our teams would lead us in spirit and in truth. Let's particularly pray for the sound. I know we're trying to experiment with different people and even outsourcing a company. Let's pray that they would really get it right, and more so they wouldn't be a distraction of our worship more than anything else. Let's lift up. ladies and families that are pregnant, Kat, Yiling, Jade, let's just pray for their families. These guys are all going to be first-time parents. Let's just pray for a grace upon them to enjoy this time and not to be so freaked out in the midst of it. For house church tonight, Blue Pool, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, K House, Oak Peak Road, and Princeton. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to meet with each of our house churches, our leaders, and that they would really draw near to God and to one another. This morning, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are our God. Lord, you are our refuge and strength. You're the very present help in time of need. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are with us, God. And because you're with us, Lord, that we do not need to fear. Lord, we can cease striving, God. We can let go. We can lay down our arms, God, lay down our rights, Lord, and just humbly come before you, Lord, knowing that you are our God. You are our strength, God. And so we thank you, Lord. I pray, God, that today, Lord, that you remind us that just to simply surrender. Surrender our thoughts, our anxieties, our wounds, our hurts. Totally surrender to you, God. Because you're the only one that can really heal us anyway, God. And so help us today. We love you so much, Lord. Would you watch over us today, Lord? And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. We'll see you tomorrow.